Welcome to Jubilee Christian Church International, Chapel of Victory, Durham, North Carolina. Thank you for listening to this message. For more information about Jubilee, please visit us online at jubileenc.org or call us at 919-484-0707.
Ever flowing. You are the one whose bottle may fill up so quickly. The source from the pot is ever flowing. Come on, shout more. If you have room, God is going to give you more for this coming year. 2019 is not done yet. Some of you, you gave up in October. Some of you, you stopped believing in November. Even 26th of December. It only took God 24 hours to complete a miracle in somebody's life. So 2019 is not over yet. Come and shout more. I'm reading to you Psalm 66 verse 11. We're going to pray with that while the choir is still with me. So I need you for a few more minutes. Psalm 66 verse 11. If you can put that on the screen, we're just going to use it to pray. It says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. So God recognized end of year. He knows that too. Even though God is not limited by time and space, but He respects human calendar. He knows about our calendar. It says, you crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy path drop fatness. The interpretation I gave to this scripture in my mind is, God, you have put cherry on my cake. Are you getting it, people of God? He put extra on my ordinary, so it become extraordinary. Are you receiving this morning? I want you to hold somebody's hand and say, God is putting extra on your ordinary. Come on, say to them, God is putting extra on your ordinary. You are extraordinary. Cherry is coming on your cake. A sweetness is in your life. Because God is going to crown your year with His goodness. Are you holding the hand? Come and speak the life of God into them. And declare this word of God into the life of the brother, sister in your left and right. Say to them, God will crown your year with goodness. God will crown your year with goodness. I declare over your life, your expectations for 2019 shall be all perfected. They will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. You are the end of the year. There shall be no bad news in your life. No bad news in your home. In the name of Jesus. Everything that God has started in your life, He will finish it. Come on, let's declare it. What God began, God will end. What God started, God will finish. You will end this year with joy. You will end this year with great joy. In the name of Jesus. He is good to us, isn't He? When we think of His goodness from January to December, if only one thing we can do this day is to give thanks, it's much more than we can even offer. But God is good. So let's sing this song together. Bless the Lord. Sing it with me, choir. You sing
it. Oh, my soul.
Let the word of God come with life. Let there be encouragement. Let there be faith in the world. Let there be unction to function. And the anointing for the next year begin to release upon your people. Lord, we release this morning a finisher's anointing upon your people. Lord, do great things for your people. Send us home with joy. Send us home with great rejoicing. Let the presence of God fill the atmosphere. Let the signs and wonders be done in our lives. Let there be healing in our bodies. Let there be hope in our soul. Let there be energy in our lives. Lord, encourage your people. Lord, strengthen our hearts. Manifest your glory. Do that which only God can do. And we will give you the glory. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let's celebrate the Lord one more time. Thank you very much, choir. God bless you. Now shake somebody's hand before you sit and say, you are in the right place this morning. And you are going to finish strong. Amen. You may be seated. And thank God for the 26th, the last Sunday of 2019. For those who are watching on the news, many of our brethren traveled. We're connecting with you in your homes, in your trips. This morning, the topic of the message is finish strong. Finish strong. We're going to finish strong and we're going to finish well. Are you with me this morning? I say you are going to finish this journey correctly. You will finish strong on a good note. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I'm reading verse number 8. This morning I'm trusting God that He will release the finisher's anointing upon your life. You will finish well. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is to complete well than even when you started. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Finishing strong. In Philippians chapter 1 verse number 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I have a big amen right there. Some of us were started this year at the beginning with great strength. Somewhere along the line, we were tired and we gave up. Many promising projects that were embarked on, but since the middle of the year, we lost hope that we can ever accomplish it. But as we are at the very 11th hour of 2019, the grace to finish well will come upon your life in Jesus' name. Finishing strong is not just a statement. It is an attitude. It's an attitude of believing you can do something and have the courage and determination to see it through. Finishing strong is what counts most, according to this scripture. It is good to start well, but unless you finish strong, it is no value. Many people started well in life with great promises over them, but due to carelessness, distraction, bad choices, demonic diversion, they finish badly. You will finish strong in Jesus' name. Some of us desire that we're going to lose weight this year. And you started losing it. By April, instead of losing, you started gaining. So what did you do? You give up. I tell you, finish well. You can still go to gym after service. Tomorrow is still there. Amen. Some of you plan to change an habit. And you were working on it with determination and passion until October. But you find that the habit is still there, so you gave up. I want to say to you this morning, finish strong. You can do. Come and say, I can. Come on, let me hear you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some men started reading the Bible with us at the beginning of the year. The gods talked in Nehemiah. And since then, they quit. I want to say to you, brother, if you're going to do overnight tonight, finish strong. We are now in Revelation. Some of us have even finished it. Hallelujah. This year, you will finish well. You will be a finisher in Jesus' name. I want to say to you this morning as we're preparing for the next year, let's see why people have strong starts and poor finishing. Because in the next 48 hours or so, we'll start another year and resolution will start rolling in. But I want to show you why people don't complete what they started. There are many reasons, are spiritual, some are physical, some are things you can control. Why do vision fail? Why do plans fall to the ground? Why are dreams getting aborted? Great starts and poor finishing are common in the Bible. We see it every now and then when we read scriptures. Some folks became complacent when they succeeded. They were choked by their own success. May I share with you three stories in the scripture of people who started well but had poor finishing. The very first one I want to say to you this morning is Samson, and you know his story. The promises were great over his life. You can give us that picture of Samson. The promises were great. His life was in the right path. Parents were counseling him. His hair was growing. He was pulling stuff. He was killing the Philistines. Things were in order for Samson. Until suddenly, he began to make bad choices. I want to say to you the reason why people don't complete the assignment. Many times, has nothing to do with the devil. Your choice. The devil has never broken windows for anybody to make them do fornication. Have you seen that? The devil, some demon just broke our window and locked the door. It doesn't happen. It's a choice. Samson was a great man. The Philistines feared him. He conquered everybody, but he could not conquer his desires. He made bad choices. We began to see demons begin to divert his attention. He became indisciplined about himself. He became careless with his success. And unfortunately for Samson, he finished very poorly. He ended up in the middle of his enemies. I pray for all our children, you will finish well. All men in this house, I pray for you, you will finish well. Today, we remember, I told you today is our Remembrance Sunday, and we're going to pray on that in a moment. But let's lay the foundation that when you begin a thing, it's not just enough to have the energy at the beginning, but preserve your energy to the end of it. Because it matters how you end that trip. You will finish well in Jesus' name. The second example was Solomon in the scripture. Solomon the wise man. Solomon the gifted man. He was so much loved by God. His name was called Jedidah. God loved him so much. He put plans in place for him. He established his kingdom. He gave him favor. Wealth and riches were in his house. But unfortunately for Solomon, he began to make bad choices. He began to look around and see many fine ladies. Began to make bad choices. Began to disregard the word of God. And before you know it, if Solomon was to be a pastor of a church, his wife and concubines enough, there were enough congregation. Think of a pastor pastoring 1,000 people. That's a lot of people, right? If all of them give their tithes, Solomon's house will be full. He was pastoring 1,000 concubines and real wives. He was making bad choices. He disregarded the word of God. He was not paying attention. And the scripture made us understand the influence of his wives, the negative influence, began to derail him. Solomon ended his life like an idolater. He wrote a proverb for us. Then he wrote in the book of the preachers, Ecclesiastes. There you see him telling us the foolishness of his choices. I pray today we will finish well. Come on, I will finish well. Oh, the journey is in front of you. You will finish well. The journey of Christian faith, you will not end up in shame. In Jesus' name. How many people started the year with us? They wanted to serve the Lord. But now they drop out of faith. They are now backsliders. They don't carry the Bible you and I carry anymore. Something came upon them. It was like the story of Demas. Demas was mentioned 3 times in the scripture. Paul said one time, he said, "Greet Demas." Another place, he called him my fellow laborer. The third time he introduced Demas to us, he says, "Demas, he has forsaken me because he loved this present world." They started well, with energy, with passion, but the question between. I pray for you. You will finish your journey well. In Jesus' name. Oh, this matters very much. So, it affects your career. It affects your marriage. It affects everything you do. That you need to focus your eyes. That in life, I will finish strong. Amen. It's a good prayer. Is that right? When you talk about the man of God called Eli. Eli was a man. The father of the nation. The prophet. The voice of the nation. But look at the end of his life. He finished very poorly. The scripture says at the end of his life, he was a big man. He fell backward. He broke his neck. He died of brokenheartedness. He didn't finish well. We will finish well in Jesus' name. Oh, if you don't want to pray that prayer for that, I pray for myself. I will finish my journey well in the name of Jesus. I will not finish badly in Jesus' name. The top person I'm going to tell you very quickly is a man called King Uzziah. King Uzziah, in his days, the scripture said he changed the kingdom. In his time, things began to move. There was a revival in the land. God was doing great things because this man, he approached the nation with a heart of repentance. And the scripture says God so much helped him. One word that was used for him was, he was marvelously helped. Because God was impressed with him. He built engine in Jerusalem. He did great things. He made conquest. And he was on course until something bad happened to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse number 16. 2 Chronicles 26, 16. The Bible says, when he was strong, when he became powerful, his heart was lifted up to what? His destruction. Be careful of pride. One of the things that people that make people not to finish well is that their sources choke them. It goes to their head. Like Nebuchadnezzar, they climbed the tree and they climbed beyond the tree. They went to the leaves. When you are hanging on leaves, you are coming down. You know what happened? He thought he can do all things. He was invincible. He said, by myself, by my power, I created this kingdom. And God said, no, you didn't create it. We gave it to you. There is nothing you have or not, people of God. Let not your sources go to your head. See, they make people become pompous. Nobody can talk to you. You are overblown like a balloon. You are going to burst. Because it's dangerous when you feel. You know what is inside the balloon? Here. The balloon is not the weight. It is here. And when you fill yourself with yourself, you know what's going to happen? You will burst. When you are high and strong, keep it down. Keep your head under. Keep your underwear under. Underwear should not be seen outside, isn't it? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? The scripture said when he was strong, you thought that was a good thing for him. But something went wrong with his heart. His heart revolted against God. He thought he got what he got by his power and his ability. And the scripture said, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. He thought he could do anything. Ah, come on, I have the power. I am the king. I am invincible. I can do whatever I like. I am the chosen one. Oh, you know that, right? I can do whatever. I can take whatever I want to take. And he usurped the office of a priest. You know, God is the God of order. Anytime you cross the line, you are coming down. It doesn't matter your size, your height. God put order in place. And when there is a disorder, there is chaos and there is confusion. When you look into the Garden of Eden, the very first appearance, there was order in the garden. The man, the Adam, was in charge. The wife was the support. But the devil was very crafty. He was checking their relationship, looking at the time when they will be together. And I guess he noticed that there was a moment when Adam was busy about himself. When Adam is doing his playing his game, and the wife is also looking around, then the devil came at a good time when they were not together. And the devil began to say, oh, come on, lady, you can eat that stuff. You don't see, it looks very fanciful. You can eat it. And the woman began to say, well, God told us not to touch it, not even eat it, because we will die. And they began to make those choices for her. Then the mistake she made was this. The scripture said, the devil persuaded her, you eat it. It was a decision. This is a family decision. There's a order in place. I got to discuss it with my husband. Children, that will have saved the trouble, isn't it? We need to talk over. No, I cannot make. When you remove the order, there's a disorder. That was what the enemy saw. Destroy the home. Because the woman took authority. She ate it and gave it to the man. It's your turn to eat. Don't hijack authority from your husband. Are you hearing me? I know you are making more money than him, but let him be the man. Amen. Are you happy with me this morning? Let him be the man. He may be slow, but pray for him. God will increase speed for him. But let him stay the man. Because when there is disorder, there is chaos, there is confusion. And then it gives the devil the room to maneuver. Look at this scripture. What he did was simple. He went to take the incense and he began to burn it. He was serving God, but was doing it wrongly. And the priest came and said, come on, our king. No, no, don't do that. This is danger. Don't do that. God forbid you to do that. He came angry against them. But who are you to talk to me? Who are you to tell me? One of the people, one of the signs of those who are proud is that nobody can talk to them successfully. As you talk to them, they raise their hand. Who are you to talk to me? Who are you? Is it, what happened to my shoulder? My shoulder is off. Who are you to talk to me? When you raise your shoulders like that, you become rebellious. Nobody can talk to you. Even your pastor talk to you. Say, I know pastor, we're classmates. So who are you? What is it there? What is it talking about? I know the story of the story. The truth is, there is order in the things of God. In the kingdom, there is order. He was the king, but he was demoted. So nobody could hold him down. Nobody could arrest him because he carried the authority. God said, I'm going to arrest him myself. The Bible, God put leprosy on his head. Right in the middle of the temple. And of course, when you are a leper, you have to be carried out. God shamed him. God disgraced him because he was too pompous. Nobody could control him anymore. God said, I will put leprosy on him. If you read verse number 21 of that scripture, 2 Chronicles 26, 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death. And dwelt in a several house. They removed him from the palace. Being a leper, he was cut off from the house of the Lord. That will not be our story in Jesus' name. It started well. But they removed him from the palace. He could not even come to the temple to worship anymore. Because God put leprosy on his body. Wow. God, that was the God resists the proud. He gave grace to the humble. If God is against you, who can pray for you? If the God that is putting his leg on your life, who can remove it? That was what happened to Uzziah. So we see in the scripture stories and stories. But let's start with that one. That there are people who started well, but they ended very badly. But as of Jubilee members to this morning, you will end up very strong. You will finish your race well. At the end of your journey, you will not be ashamed. In the name of Jesus, come and say, I will finish well. It matters that our parenting, as parents, we will finish well. Our children will not break our hearts. Am I praying for parents this morning? We will finish well. You will see joy when you see your children. We will finish strong. As pastors, as leaders, we will finish well. We will not be ashamed at the end of our lives. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells us a parable, a story. In verse number 28, Luke 14. He says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, seeketh not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? In this scripture, we're going to analyze what Jesus is telling us, the reason why people fail, the reason why people finish poorly. Say, which of you, the money is in place, the energy is there, the workers are ready. He said, but the thing you need to do is sit down first. The word first with emphasis. Don't jump until you have counted the cost. Be sure you have what it takes to finish. In verse 29, let happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. That will not be our story in Jesus' name. So write for yourself, number one reason why people don't finish well. Why people finish poorly. Number one, I call it lack of clear objectives and intentions. As we're going to go around the corner, New Year starting, I want you to use this key so that 2020 will be better than 2019. Why is 2019 rough for people? Why sometimes we don't close on the deal? It is because our objectives are not so clear to us. Visions and goals must be clear before you embark on it. In a soccer game, it is hard to score goals without a goalpost. At the beginning of this year, you need to have clear picture. One of the things that you must remove, I call it confusion. Give me the picture. There's a picture there. A picture of confused, lost, unsure, perplexed, disoriented, bewildered. They will make you to finish very poorly. I pray this morning God will give you clarity of mind. Amen. I say God will give you clear mind and remove every confusion from your life. In the name of Jesus, you need to have a clear call. Don't try to say, well, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. You know what 50 pounds means? If you lose 50 pounds out of what you have now, you'll be like a broom. So you need to know what you are talking about. The vision needs to be clear. Where are you going with your life? If you have no vision and you enter into 2020, man, you're going to be driving rough. You'll be going like somebody with a map, with a GPS. You know those GPS things that is talking to you, and you're not listening. Say, turn right now. Say, no, I know the way. Turn right now. Stop. Make a U-turn. You're not making U-turn. And then you see yourself ending up in the dead-end road because your vision is not very clear. May God give you a sharp vision in Jesus' name. Number two reason why people have poor finishing is called poor planning. Some think prayer and fasting is the answer to everything. No, that's not true. There is prayer, there is fasting, and there is planning. God gave us brain and intelligence, so you need to learn to use it. As you start this coming year, the reason why people finish poorly is because they have poor planning. Planning is the roadmap to achieving life goal. A life without a plan is a life that ends nowhere. Failure to sit down first in that scripture will bring embarrassment and surprise. But I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, you will not be ashamed. In Jesus' name. Poor planning. And I tied it to indecision. When you do not decide what you really want in life. Indecision. You are not making up your mind what you want. I was reading the other time about the story of the former president Ronald Reagan. He says, if you don't decide, someone else will decide for you. See, an aunt took him when he was young, to a cobbler to make shoes for him. And when he got there, the cobbler said, do you want a square foot or rounded foot? You know how you should close the front side. He had no answer. He didn't talk. He didn't say anything. Okay, the man said, I'll give you 2 days to think about it. In 2 days, he met him on the street. He said, Ronald, do you want me to give you a square or rounded clothing? Yes, he didn't talk. He didn't know what to say. Then he said, well, in 2 days, come and collect your shoes. So when the future president went there, he found one square toed and one round toed shoes. And the cobbler said, this will teach you, never let people make decisions for you. The cobbler is talking to many of us today. He said, if you don't make a choice, somebody will make it for you. Be decisive. Are you with me, church? Poor planning. Number three, unwillingness to pay the price. That is the reason why people fail. You have big dream, tall height, you wanted to get this done, get that done. But the problem is you are not willing to pay a price. For everything called success, there's a price tag attached to it. Many of us, we don't read it. You go to the store, you pick this expensive thing, the dress look good, and you didn't find the price. You went to the cashier, and you like it. And when they announced the price, you almost dropped. Say, what? They return back to the sender. Put it back where you took it from. What must you do? Count the cost before you go to the cashier, isn't it? And some people, because they don't want to embarrass me, they say, charge it. Charge it. How are you going to pay for it? Your salary. You are not a celebrity. One of the celebrities recently bought a jacket worth $65,000 for their baby. $65,000. Are you a celebrity? They charge it. You'll be paying for it for the next 5 years. May God have mercy upon us. Count the cost. Anything you want to embark on in life so that you don't have poor finishing, you need to know what it takes. When you start the MBA program, you know there's going to be weekend, there's going to be overnight thing. Count the cost so that you can finish very strong. Look at that. The cost of success is late night, early morning. Anybody familiar with this? Very few friends. Being misunderstood, feeling overwhelmed, questioning your sanity. Does that sound like something for many of us? The dream is scary. When someone says, if you have a dream that does not scare you, it is too small. The dream is scary. People question, are you yourself? But by the grace of God, God will give you the grace to finish well. I say you will finish well in Jesus' name. I say I'm wrapping up. The fourth reason why people have incompleteness in their life is what I call the spirit of incompletion. Now, this has nothing to do with not planning. You have good plan. This has nothing to do with not counting the cost. You know the cost. The vision is clear. But there are some forces that are hanging around your life. And we're going to pray together this morning. We're going to cut them off in Jesus' name. You work so hard, but you do not have a finishing. You work on something for 20, 25 years, but up to now could not be completed. Deliverance from unfinished businesses will come upon you this morning in Jesus' name. Incomplete projects, abandoned projects, by the grace of God, finishers anointing will come upon your life. There are some demons that are going out too. They watch your goals and objectives. They know you wrote it down. They also have an assignment. Stop him. This year, as we end it, and as we start new year, I yank off your life, spirit of incompletion, in the name of Jesus. So how do we close the year strong? Write these four things down for yourself. How do we close strong this year? Number one, I want you to end the year with attitude of gratitude. Our attitude matters. Don't forget I said finishing strong is not just a statement. It's an attitude. You need to have a good attitude to finish well. Count your blessings, not your woes. Count your breakthroughs, not your breakdowns. As you think about finishing this year, many of you will look back and say, oh my God. I want you to end, because 2020 is around the corner. If you enter the new year with a bad attitude, you already started wrong. Am I making sense? So that's why you need to end this year with a good attitude. Come on, say attitude. Attitude of gratitude. Between now and Tuesday, find many things in your life. Say, well, Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you for that. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I don't want to be. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. Number two, be positive. End the year with positive mood and emotions, because you may be starting the new year on a sour and negative note. So be positive. Resolve every conflict. Close all the books this year. Can I say amen there? Close all the book. Don't take baggage into the new year. Don't dwell on your mistakes and your tripping. If there are people that need to, I'm talking to myself now. I'm talking to you. Don't carry baggage to 2020. 2020 is a playing field. It's not been rigged yet. You know when people say, well, this year is rigged. It's only people who are better that they are making it. No, the year is playing field. Nobody has entered it yet. You understand that? But the problem is some of us, we started with baggage. The moment you enter January, wham, bam, like this, Happy New Year, and the baggage were waiting on you. The problem is, how do you have a holy start when there's too much weight around you? Am I talking to somebody this morning? This is spiritual talking. You know the baggage I'm talking about. You can't sleep very well in the night because they annoyed you. Say, they piss me off. When I see them next Sunday, I will give them the portion of my heart. You know, you took a part of your heart, you give it to them. What do you have left? Your heart is gone. So I'll give them a portion of my mind. I will serve them. If you enter the new year with that is negative. You are already in deficit. Come on, tell me, don't carry baggage now. Don't carry baggage. So some of you need to make some calls by the end of 31st. Before you come to the New Year's word, make that call. So you need to send an email by the end of the year. Say, you know what? Pastor said no baggage, so I'm not carrying you. I'm dropping you. Amen. Finish the year very positive. Number three, finish the year by touching someone. Touch someone positively. Before 2019 books are closed, put your fingerprint on it. God is going to visit you in 2020. And finally, I say, keep your focus straight. 2020 is around the corner. Let's finish strong. And this morning, we're going to pray for anointing to finish strong. Are you with me, church? I call it the finisher's anointing. Hebrews 12:2 says to us, looking unto Jesus, the author. And what? The finisher. He is a finisher. Jesus never does things that he doesn't finish. Say, look unto him. When he starts with you, he will give you grace to finish it. So there's an anointing coming upon you this morning. I call it the finisher's anointing. Come and stand with me in the name of Jesus and say, I will finish strong. I will finish well. This morning we're going to go into our remembrance Sunday. And we're going to lead you in some prayers before we close. The Lord will remember you. You can see what is on the screen. Come and say with me on the screen. Lord, remember me. This is the end of 2019. Lord, remember me. The books are opened. Lord, remember me. I say this morning you will not be a loser. You are a finisher. Lord, remember me. Come and say with me, Lord. Come and shout it. Lord, grant me grace and the anointing to end this year strong and glorious. In Jesus' name, every uncompleted project in my life, I receive finisher's anointing to complete them in the name of Jesus. As you started this year in good note, I said to you, you will end up in high key. You will not be a loser. You shall be a winner in Jesus' name. Now start with me. Lord, remember me. Three things will happen when you pray this prayer. Number one, what does remembrance mean? Give me the next slide. Number one, it means divine visitation. Hold somebody's hand as we pray together. We're praying for one another. This is our Sunday, the last Sunday in December. And our theme for this month is remembrance. God is in His Word. His promises never fail. When He says He will remember you, you can count on it, He will remember you. What does it mean to be remembered? It means divine visitation. The Bible says God visited Sarah and He did what He promised in His life. As we're holding that brother, that sister, I want you to say, Lord will remember you. There shall be visitation in your home. There shall be visitation in your family. In the name of Jesus, all the promises of God over your life, they will not fail. They will not fall. Lord, remember me. The Lord shall remember you. I agree with you and I pray for you this morning. Lord, remember me. As you remember Sarah, He will remember you. As you remember Rachel, He will remember you. Where you need the touch of the Almighty, may the Lord touch you. Come and say, touch me, Lord. Lord, touch me with your power. Lord, touch me with your anointing. Lord, touch me. Turn my table around. Turn my story around. In Jesus' name. Number two, prayer. What does remembrance mean? When God remembers you, it brings in an intervention. Maybe some of you that are saying something in the course of life that except God intervene, is not going to turn out right. That's why I want to agree with you this morning. There shall be divine intervention. 2019 will not close without God stepping into the matter on your behalf. The night before Mordecai was to be hanged, God intervened. God stepped into the picture that this man will not be hanged. According to the record of heaven, I see blessing over your life. There's no debt on your name. There's no pain in your life. There's no sorrow on your part. May the Lord intervene in the name of Jesus. Now lift those two hands together and say, Father, bring intervention in every area of my life, of my family, in the name of Jesus. Lord, intervene. Bring that hand down. You know, what we're doing this morning, we're not just because we don't have time to do things. We're doing what God will have us do. You may not be in that situation. There are people who have shoes this morning that is burning them. And we're going to pray for them. There are people who have issues in their life and say, God intervene. There's no way they can close the year successfully. Maybe the story has not been good. All the report has been negative. But we're praying for divine intervention. Are you with me, church? Maybe it's a report from the doctor. It's a report from the account. It's a report from some from abroad. But we're going to pray for divine intervention. You know, you're going to do what you're doing this morning in the spirit of faith. The Bible talks about the Amalekites when they came against Israel. Israel was under a siege from the people of Amalekites. Amalekites are enemies that don't give up on you. They fight your father. They fought your forefathers. They are enemies of generations. Now it was the time of Moses to fight the Amalekites. He told Joshua, I say, you go down there and I will pray on the mountain for you. As you fight this Amalekite, we're going to put them to an end. And as they were fighting, the Bible said Moses' hand was up, then his hand was down because he had no strength to do it for so long. But thank God you are joined with your Aaron and your Hur. They are with you. Come and lift those hands before God. And he's going to shout with me, every Amalekite of my life that are fighting against me, oh God, intervene. Come on, shout, oh God, intervene. Your own Amalekite could be medical. Your own Amalekite could be spiritual. Your own Amalekite could be financial. Come on, shout one more time. Oh God, the Amalekites are after my life. But I pray, intervene. The Lord shall intervene in the name of Jesus. And the last thing that happens when there is remembrance is manifestation. God will manifest on your behalf. I say God will manifest on your behalf. So when God intervened, when God visited, the next thing is manifestation. When Sarah was visited, Isaac manifested, isn't it? When Mordecai was visited, was intervened, his life was spared. And it became like second in command to the king. For you this morning, you are going to manifest. Now we're going to pray together the last prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask of you, remember me. Manifest your glory in my life, in my church, in 2020. Manifest your power. Manifest your anointing. And let the people hear about you in my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One more time, Lord, remember me. Father, remember your people this morning. As we bring 2019 to an end, let there be intervention. Let there be supernatural visitation. Let there be divine manifestations. We will close this year strong. Every project in our life that are not finished, the finishing anointing will come upon us. We will close our books with joy. We will enter into 2020 without a baggage. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Did you receive the word of God this morning? Let's put our hands together and say, Lord, I thank you because it is happening to me. I am finishing strong. I am finishing well. In Jesus' name, we shall have good report this year, success report, testimonies in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, as we are standing, we're going to receive a baby.
Thank you for listening. Stay blessed.